Mimacher, so we discussed yesterday, you know, when a person, things don't go a person's way, it's a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah saseh for a person to justify or accept upon himself something that happens to him, and not to complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very important thing for a person to work on. Very important thing. Much of a person's success in life is dependent on this nakuda, how a person deals with difficulties. And by the way, you know, how a person teaches himself and works on accepting difficulties and not complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and accepting it and not getting all upset. You know, that's how your children also are going to, in Mirat Hashem, deal with their difficulties. It's an amazing thing. Whatever a person works on himself, his children have a tremendous head start. And whatever a person doesn't work on himself, his children have to start there. Hopefully his children will go past himself. If a person's an angry person, and a person yells at his kids, you know, when his kids are not behaving, he's basically teaching his child anger. You know, you all know that chinuch is not about telling your children what to do. It's about showing them what to do. If a parent gets angry at the child, a parent gets frustrated, and a parent gets upset, then if you're teaching your child might only be 3 months old, your child might only be 2 years old, but you're teaching your child that anger is a correct way of dealing with things. And when a child sees a parent complain or get upset over something, or a child sees a parent complain to Hashem, or Chas Hashem say something inappropriate, so basically he's teaching his children that's okay, that's normal. And the opposite, if a child sees a parent who's calm and doesn't get angry, the child himself, it'll be so much easier. The child will automatically just like, no, that's not how you react. You know, a parent that likes rain, when it's raining, a parent says, my wife likes rain, and her mother likes rain, and my kids all people like rain if I don't mess it up for them. You know, if it's raining, oh, it's so cozy in the house, it's raining. If a parent says they like rain, and the child likes rain. You know, a parent has a profound influence on their child. And, you know, if a parent overcomes anger, then his child anger won't be a difficulty for them. And by the way, that means that they'll be able to go past anger. They'll be able to go farther. However you grow and you accomplish, your child will be able to go past you, because he'll start at an advantage. Your parents maybe didn't teach you how to deal with anger, but if you know how to deal with anger and with your own anger, and you'll teach your kid even just by watching. It's amazing. It's so clear. A parent that's calm and relaxed, the children are more relaxed. It's just so clear how a child just learns from a parent's behavior at a young age. You know, that's the way the children are. So instead of your child having to work on anger problems, they'll be able to work on tremendous, much beyond that.
Then would you get
schar,
theoretically?
Yes. If a person works on his midos, l'chaira you should get schar for his kids. No question. I think it would make sense if a parent works on anger, and thereby the child doesn't have anger problems. His stomach gets char. It would make sense he's responsible also. It would make sense a negative, so we have to give him the positive. It would make sense that the parent's angry with his children, and the child learns anger. And by the way, every person naturally has anger, so it's not even about developing anger. The child has anger, and the child learns that it's okay to, it's normal to just get angry. It's normal to express anger. You know. Someone just told me that chinuch is so much connected with the parents. That nowadays, parenting, the children, there's tremendous problems with children behavior in schools. It gets worse and worse, the kids' behavior. But, for example, when you have parents that excuse everything their child does, it's this child's next to him in class, and he's always disrupting him, and he can't concentrate, my little tzaddikal, everyone bothers him, everyone picks on him, it's too noisy in the classroom, he can't concentrate. When they're making excuses to the kids, why do you think the kid makes excuses for himself when the teacher says, why are you calling? Why are you doing this? Because I want to, because he's bothering me, because I'm tired. They just copy the parents. They learn from the parents. Someone just told me recently that a parent said, one child was picking on another child. A was picking on B, and the parent of B walks over and says, Now you know why B hits you because you pick on him. This is what a parent said to the parent says to the child, hey, he's picking on me. Now you know why my son B hits you because you start up with him. He's making fun of him. It's horrible chinuch. It's horrible chinuch. That's why your child hits. Your child has a right to hit because you want to tell the child, whatever, you should, don't pick on him. You deserve it, right? You deserve it. They have to justify the children's actions, and that's why the children themselves. The parenting, you could see, when you see a fine person, and especially if you could tell that it's by nature, you see their parents and oh, there's so many people that are not from, plenty of people that are not from, and you meet a fine person, you look at their parents, you see such fine people. Fine people more often than not have fine children. And you'll say, oh, but take a boy in yeshiva that you could think of that seems to just be a very, just have a good personality, just very easy, just easygoing, very fine character, and it looks really natural, and you think to yourself, it's really natural, and it's really natural. You'll know. Look at their parents and say, wow, their parents are such fine people. The child is fine. He works on himself too, not to discredit him, but he is fine because his parents are fine. If his parents weren't fine, he's not naturally fine. If his parents weren't fine, the child wouldn't be fine. We call that natural. But if we ourselves, the finer we make ourselves, the finer our children will be. If we don't care about ourselves, but at least we care about, everyone cares about their children. It's terrible. When a person gets angry at his child, no matter how old the child is, no matter if the child is a baby, you are implanting in your child the midah of kas.
Even after the age where the son can differentiate between good and bad?
Doesn't make a difference. When you see bad, when you see bad, it has an impression.
So then it's not only the parents, and if they see anyone who gets angry.
But their parents, a child looks at his parents. Every person, some person, for example, a person looks at his Rebbe, and a person who feels a certain kasher with his Rebbe watches his Rebbe how he acts, and he subtly imitates him. When a person looks at or sees a Gadol HaDor walking around, he's watching him. A child looks at his parents as Kiman a Gadol HaDor. Maybe even older children look at their parents as Gadol HaDor. Why? Their parents not a Gadol HaDor. They know their parents not a Gadol HaDor, but that's the way it is. A child naturally has tremendous respect and looks very carefully at his parents' actions, and he copies. A small child knows when his parents aren't acting appropriately. And if he doesn't know it's inappropriate, then it's even worse. Then he for sure will copy. But they'll copy. I know sometimes they get, it's cute, sometimes my son, I get upset, so my, some, it's, I say my son will go, he'll see I start to get upset, so he'll go like this. I'm happy, he's not pushed, he doesn't get so impressed if I get upset. But you know, it's a terrible thing. All right, let's go back here. V'ma'achas ha'adam ha'isa tshuva. If a person, after a person does tshuva, so he started off saying that when something doesn't go a person's way, so you have to know, that person has to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mussar, gives yisurim like a father. Hashem cares about us. Hashem's not just doing it, you know, for no reason or just to pain us. V'ma'achas ha'adam ha'isa tshuva. But not only that, let's say a person did tshuva, and lo yinyanu b'tayve kamo b'tchila. Let's say a person did tshuva, he really starts improving his ways, and then life doesn't go as well as it did before he did tshuva. Imagine, you know, a person does tshuva, and then afterwards things go bad for him. I remember my parent once said over that that there was this family that I think they were Bali tshuva. I think they became from. I don't know if I have 100%. They became from, and very recently after they came from, they lost a small child. The small child was killed. And my parents said that he was scared. Yipasha was scared. I think he might have been even involved in making them from. He was scared to go. When he went to Menachem Avil, he was scared to go in the house. He was like scared. What's he gonna say to them? You know, they became from, and this is what happens. And he said that like he felt so small. These people were just accepted that Hashem, you know, Hashem does whatever is for the best, and we don't, you know, and the imamish were makabel, accepted what Hashem did totally without complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, what should a person think? Chas v'shalom, this happens. Mitzvah sheyashav b'libo, it's a mitzvah that a person should think in his heart. It's for his own benefit that is luck. That things are going bad. Before a person does tshuva, Hashem is giving him back the reward of his mitzvahs. Hashem is giving him the schar. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, end of the first parak, that many times a person that's a tzaddik, but he has some averus, Hashem will punish him in this world in order to get rid of the rotten averus, get rid of the averus, and therefore when we go to Salam Haba, it will be totally clean, it will be totally geshmak, he won't have any Gehenna. On the opposite, a person that's a Rasha, but he did a few good deeds, and a person's a Rasha, did a few good deeds, he'll get paid back for his good deeds in Olam Hazeh, in order that Olam Haba, he'll have a clean, a totally, you know, clean slate of chatan. Clean slate of Olam Haba. Totally, just Gehenna for him. You know that the Gemara, you know, by the way, the schar for a mitzvah is amazing. The Gemara says, and there are many Gemaras, there's Gemara in Saita that says, because of the four steps that Parah walked, escorted Moshe Rabbeinu, he was zocha to enslave Klal Yisrael for 400 years. It says for the four steps that Paro took to escort Moshe Rabbeinu, he was zochet to 400 years to enslave the children. Obviously, Klal Yisrael was supposed to be enslaved; they're not going to be punished because of Paro's reward. But the reason why Paro was zochet, so to say, or the reason why Paro had this benefit of the 400 years, actually 210, so it's a good kasha, but 400 years, it's a riot to the pshat that they worked so hard; it was like 400 years of work. But they worked so hard for. They worked. The power was zocha to that Olam Hazeh, to that benefit, because he walked Moshe Rabbeinu four steps. So Hashem gave him that complete reward for those four steps in Olam Hazeh. I hear. Good question. Like, it wasn't the same power over the time. Maybe. Yaakov Melech Chadash, that's when they started the yeshiva. He died before. What?
Yeah. heaven's wrath.
Yeah? I hear. I don't know. I just know the Gemara says, Shenamar, as it says. So, Umishalom the son of Alpon of Avida, Hashem pays back the enemies to destroy them. Ukidarach Shaisil the son, if so, the same way Hashem does it to his enemies. Kei Misham Ayavav, so too Hashem pays back his loved ones. Ainish Averis, Hashem punishes them. Kei Shuzakon Mikilon Lava, in order that they should be clean in Olam Haba. And that's an amazing thing, that a person is going through a tough time, and he could sit there complaining, it's Hashem, Hashem's so cruel to me, I'm working to do tshuva, and look what Hashem's doing to me, and meanwhile Hashem's doing a mechesed, that's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a parent, it's very hard for a person to do someone a favor, you know, it's very hard to do someone a favor when they think you're doing them a crime. It's a very hard thing when a person, you know, when a person cries, give me money, and you don't want to give them the money because he's going to, you know, use it for the wrong purposes. It's very hard to be tough on someone else when someone thinks you're cruel, and you're really intent as a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a Baal chesed that Hashem is going to punish the person. The person, chas v'shalom, could have complaints, but Hashem nevertheless will still do it anyways in order to give him a kapara. The truth is, though, if he complains, he might be blowing. Pulling the kapara. That's the whole scary part. When a person goes to Yisturim, it's such a waste. I think that sometimes it works. Sometimes if I'm going through a difficult time, so I you know, you start thinking, you know, complaints, and then once in a while, if you remind yourself like it's such a shut. Here you have a difficult situation. It's really, really schwer. It's really, really tough. And this is an opportunity for a tremendous kapara. And I mamish can take advantage of the situation and say, oh, I'm a kav, whatever Hashem does, and I'll get such schar, I'll be such a schas, such a kapara. And instead I could blow it and sit there fetching, oh, why is Hashem doing this to me? You mamish blow it. You blow the whole situation. The more difficult the situation, the more you're blowing, the more you're losing out. I think Rabbi Victor Miller says that the word chait literally means missing something. He says the worst part of a chait is that you're missing the lost opportunity to grow. When a person has a difficult nisayon, many times a person has a difficult nisayon, someone's really someone's really bothering you, and you want to punch them in the nose. So you say, listen, if someone just bothers me a little bit, all right, I can get over it. The guy's bothering me so much. I punch him in the nose, you know, that much I'm not mechuyev to take. And we're losing it. We're losing the golden opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch is sending someone to test you, to bother you. And here's your big chance to hit it big. Here's your chance to strike gold. Hashem's giving you a chance to strike gold and not get upset at him and not fight back. And we could blow it. We could blow the whole opportunity. Hashem's giving us an opportunity to grow. Hashem's giving us a chance for kapara, and we're gonna blow it. You know, just a little bit connected. The Timer Devira. I was learning with Yaakov Metz last night. The Timer Devira. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person life every second. It's a famous verse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person life every single second. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would withdraw from the person, he would die instantaneously. It's not Pshat Hashem says, you're born, and then you continue to tick, 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 till Hashem pulls out the plug. Constantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a person life. Constantly, every second, Hashem is giving a person life. So a person could be sinning, a person is doing a terrible avera. And meanwhile, at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such control, Hashem is such a savlan, Hashem could bear so much, that while a person's, so to say, slapping in the face, so while a person's insulting Hashem, Hashem continues to give him life. That's the care HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes for us. Hashem is very good to us. You know, Hashem's looking at the guy who's screaming, why'd you break down my car? Why'd you get me stuck in traffic? Meanwhile, if you would have been on the road 5 minutes, chas v'shalom, you know, the person would have been in a serious car accident. Meanwhile, if you wouldn't have the car broken down, he would be burning Gehenim another 5 minutes. Like, meanwhile, we complain. And the truth is, the better we accept it, the better the kapara, and the less it hurts. And if a person is stuck in traffic and he says, oh, kapara, it's not such a big deal, he will get a tremendous kapara in Olam Haba. He will suffer very little. Because most suffering, by the way, except for physical suffering, almost all suffering we go through is totally emotional, is totally psychological. You know, a person stuck in traffic. Right? And you know, the guy who honks on the horn, you know, this traffic's moving, and if you don't pull up 2 feet ahead, he honks like you're not going anywhere. But the guy is so impatient, he gets so aggravated. We get aggravated, the suffering is the aggravation. We don't get the cup, we get a very small kapara. In fact, we might be punished for complaining, especially if we talk inappropriately. We get punished for complaining, we get a very small kapara. Instead of just relaxing, accepting the situation, you know, better yet, accept this from a Kodesh Baruch, which would be a kapara. The person doesn't suffer that much because it's not the end of the world, and he gets a tremendous kapara for it.
More of a kapara if you raise yourself emotionally.
That's the chiddush. I heard this from my Rizman on tape. That's a chiddush, and it makes a lot of sense, really, that even though that's the ironic part, if a person is bitter and complaining and gets a small kapara and he suffers a lot, and if a person accepts it, I guess Hashem basically says, well, I know you could suffer a lot from this. This is like I'm throwing at you a, basically Hashem's throwing at you a rock, and you get a kapara for getting the rock thrown at you. But the person, Hashem gives him more credit if he's makabel, if he accepts it. If a guy doesn't suffer one bit from it because he's such trust in Hashem, he'll get a gishmak and get a gishmak, full kapara from it. It's a chiddush, but it makes sense.
It's a win-win situation.
What?
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's totally a win-win situation. You know that? It's always an interesting thing. I've said this before. All aggravations... When a person gets angry, right? Think about it. What aggravates you when you get angry? It's the anger that's aggravating. It's totally the anger that aggravates you. Think about it. Next time you get angry, it's totally the anger that aggravates you. It's the thoughts that you have of anger that are really aggravating. It's not even what happens, but it's really aggravating. It's a thought. What?
What gets you angry is
someone insults you. Your emotions, you know, get going, and it's the pain. It's the feeling, the emotional feelings you have of hurt or of anger that hurt you. It's not the thing that happened. If a person would be able to numb, you know, people could walk over fire. Obviously, it's not easy to do this. I'm just, you know, pointing out. You know, just like there's people that could walk over fire, and it doesn't affect them. The more a person could work on his emotions, if a person works on emotions that they're a little bit number, and they're a little bit more controlled, then someone could be hurling all types of insults at him, and it won't bother. There's nothing, you know. It's a good thing, by the way. A person should try not to be too sensitive. I am a very sensitive person. It's not a good thing. It's not good to be very sensitive. A person should not be sensitive to insults. I'm a very strong believer in this. A person should not be sensitive to insults. You'll think that I'm such an anal person, I'm so sensitive. You're not supposed to be sensitive when other people insult you. Naturally, it's a nice thing that you're sensitive. It's a very nice thing when a person's naturally sensitive to insults, because it's we spoke about this many times, because it's the same midah. He's sensitive, he wouldn't hurt anyone else, and he's sensitive not to be hurt by others. But a person, again, should try not to be sensitive when other people insult him. He should retain his sensitivity in dealing with others and not hurt others. But a person has to learn not to be sensitive when other people insult him. He has to say, person didn't mean it so much, it's not a big deal. If a person is going to be sensitive, he's going to end up hurting his midos. When someone hurts you, if someone insults you, and you get all insulted because you're such an anal sensitive person, that anal sensitive person becomes nasty, because he's so hurt by the person that the person hurt him. He gets so hurt that he'll end up being insensitive. He'll end up fighting back. Or he'll end up carrying along, and if he can't fight back because he's too anal to fight back, or he's too chicken to fight back, better yet, more likely, then he's still carrying around a lot of kas, which will eventually be destructive. Carrying around kas is destructive. It will end up doing some destruction at some point. A person should try not to be sensitive.
It's supposed to be sensitive to insult against Hashem,
Yes, fine. So be sensitive for Hashem's honor. I'm talking about for your own honor. a person should practice not getting insulted. It's not good to get insulted. I'll just tell you, it's not good to get insulted. You'll end up getting... There are many people that walk around. Some people are not sensitive. And they're not sensitive when people insult them. And it's a tremendous bracha. Because when someone says something to them, and even if they really didn't... Even if the person meant to insult them, they're like, oh, I don't care what he says. And they don't carry around the angers against the person. It doesn't disturb their daily routine. They're not in a bad mood. Fine. You know? And it's great. It's a great, wonderful thing. Maybe that person naturally... you know, has to be careful not to insult others. But a person that's very sensitive to what other people say, you know, it's very dangerous, very dangerous. I know a bacha that's very sensitive. I told him, you better work on it. You better not be so sensitive. His wife's gonna say, you know, why didn't you take out the garbage yet? He's gonna walk away. He's gonna walk away crying. He's gonna walk away so upset. His wife talked to him so harshly. Why didn't you take the garbage out already? He's gonna get all insulted, and then he's gonna fail. He'll say something back. The more sensitive you are, the more the risk of getting into a fight, the more risk of carrying around hard feelings, the more the risk of getting angry. It's a nice thing to be very sensitive, but when it comes to a person's, when someone insults you, a person has to learn how to be insensitive. Some people are very, very sensitive. I am a very sensitive person, and some people are not as sensitive, but are very sensitive. Every person has to work on not being too sensitive. You should practice now. A person should not be so sensitive. Don't excuse yourself. That guy's so mean. He's such an insensitive person. Talk to yourself. Don't worry about it. You should tell yourself, yes, it wasn't nice, but don't be such a baby. So he called you fat. So he called you stupid. Don't be such a baby. If you're going to be a baby when someone else insults you, I tell you now, you will suffer. Your wife will suffer. Your kids will suffer. That's it. You know, your boss is gonna. You're gonna cry when your boss says something that nice to you. It's just not healthy. It's just not healthy to be a sensitive person. It's a beautiful thing, but practically, a person has to overcome it. And retain your sensitivity, not to insult your. You know that you used to be. I know that I naturally would get so insulted if someone looked at me the wrong way. So I will be very careful never to look at someone the wrong way. I'll be very careful never to say something that's not nice. Because I know that I used to be so sensitive. I worked on it, but how do I know that someone else worked on it? How do I know someone else is not sensitive? Is not sensitive. All right, we'll continue.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Peace out. Alright. What's the way that a person could be happy with what he has? Person has to accept with simcha the ra, the bad that happens to him, come on, I tell you, like the good that happens to him. That's a very high madrega. You know, not only the person doesn't complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a person is mekabel with simcha. When something bad happens, he's mekabel with simcha. How is it shaykh? A person should recall something bad with simcha. The only way is if a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for his benefit. Person on a simple level could just realize it's a kapara. So let's say get stuck in traffic. You really could tell him. A person could really be on the madrega where he says, "I'm so lucky. This is a gavalik. This is a gavalik kapara. This is a great kapara." A person could do that. Aderech hazem is chalik v'kama drachim. This road is divided into many roads, into many parts. Achad, number one, tzarech gadir gadol. You need a very big fence. Sheyiftach v'lokim. Person has to have strong mitachon in Hashem. Hasheni, second of all, emuna. You have to have complete trust in Hashem. Hashlishi, hasecha. He's going to explain. Harvi, the fourth is stop. The person has to be satisfied with what he has. Amar Achacham, Ka'adam Tzarek Gadir V'Sad. Every person needs a fence, a support. in order to uphold his good ma'asim. Sad is a support, a help. Throw on Hashem your load, and He will support you. A person has to, and this is something which is not necessarily talked about too much. A person has to learn and work on having bitachon in Hashem. If a person doesn't have bitachon in Hashem, then he'll be always nervous, he'll always be worried, and he won't have probably have a very stressful life unless a person has bitachon in Hashem. Just give examples of a simple. I spoke about bitachon one time. We spoke for quite a while on bitachon. I should really give over the same thing again. I just don't feel for some reason. I don't feel this right now. Give it a whole shekel. Anyone that's interested, purchase it for a dollar. I'll buy it too. But that was one of the only good tapes that are out. Let's talk about a simple level of bitachon. A simple level of bitachon, which is not so simple, is let's say a person's looking for a shidduch. For his daughter. Right? Mirtz Hashem, should be negated by all of you one day. Looking for a shidduch for a daughter. And we all know, it seems that it's not very easy to marry off a girl. A son, you know, it's definitely easier to get him dates. A daughter is much harder to get her dates. And you could I'm not Yesh Lachor, but a person could, you know, say like this. It's impossible, it's very difficult to find dates for my daughter. So, you know, when she's already 17, 18, he already he already has a lot of strategies. Everybody when he speaks to his friends or different people, he said, you know, he throws in like a little, he doesn't mention dating. He just throws in, oh, you know, my daughter, she just did such an amazing chesed. Such an amazing girl. You know, he slips in like a middle conversation, you know, and anyone he speaks to, once in a while, he slips in the line, oh, you know, my daughter just got 100 on her test. She just got accepted to a good seminar. So he's always flipping in little things. He's very smart. Very smart person. He's very planned out. He wants to get in subtly, you know. Gemara says that you're only believe that even a guy's belief for testimony, if he mentions it like in passing. A guy says in passing, like, oh, you know, I was in Chicago and there was a fire or whatever, and someone died. If he mentions things in passing, you could trust the guy. If a guy comes to testify, you can't believe him. So very smart. If you ever want good lawyers, you know, this is not a liar, but good lawyers don't come to you and say, I just caught a 10-foot fish. There's always the fish lies. There's a 10-foot fish. They're talking, how you doing? You know, fishing recently, yeah. They talk about something else. Oh, you know, by the way, a few weeks ago I caught like a 10-foot fish. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Wow, you caught a 10-foot fish? Yeah, it's also, you know, that's a smart liar. We don't lie. It's us to lie. It's a terrible thing, you know, once we mention it. It's a terrible thing to lie. In fact, I couldn't believe it, but I heard, actually, Bakram learning in yeshiva, you know, not saying which yeshiva, but they would actually go to some type of fitness place, hopefully only men fitness place, and there was a cheaper price for 18 and under, whatever it was, for 18 and under. So unbelievable. There were Bachrim that said they were 18, even though they're really 19 or 20, to save some money, and from the place. It's disgusting. It's mamish. It's terrible. It's not acceptable. It's not. Anyone that would hear such a thing should be disgusted. We don't lie. We don't lie. We do not lie. It's aser to lie. First of all, it's not even mutter. You're not allowed to trick a guy, anyways. It's a shadow of geneva also. Besides lying, it's also geneva. But without geneva, you're not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to lie. I told you already. I've spoken about this, about lying. A person should be very careful not to lie. You know, even when a person has a good excuse to lie, try not to lie, even if you have an excuse. Shalom Bayis says you're allowed to lie. But it's not so simple. Let's say I accidentally, I'll tell you, break a dish. They break a dish. The wife comes home, she says, Moshe, who broke this dish? So I think to myself, Shalom Bayis, she's going to be all upset. Shmuel Yehuda. Shragi. He got wild. He broke the dish. It's not so posh. That's not necessarily a call for Shalom Bayis. Your wife will get upset for 3 minutes. You know, she'll get over it, and that'll be the end of it. It's not necessarily called Shalom Bayis. I mean, I'm not, you know, you ask your rub. It's not so posh. Every time you want to get yourself out of every little thing, you know, why is there a mess over here? Oh, you know, he did it, or I don't know.
What? Commission, that's why you're supposed to have a kiss?
Yeah. But it doesn't say the law, it's not what it says. It doesn't necessarily, does it mean you're going to blame it, or it means that people will blame it? That's not necessarily a hat of Shalom Bayis. You know, that you're doing it for your own, to save your own skin, because you don't want to get aggravated, you're doing it to save your skin. Now, you're not doing it because you're worried about Shalom Bayis. By Avram, the Makar, everyone knows the Makar, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said that Avram said that I'm old. He didn't tell, Sarah said that Avram's old, and Hashem said to Avram that she said she's old. Hashem didn't say that Sarah said that Avram's old. So matter, I don't know why Avram would, you know, Avram, if you don't, his level would be, you know, be offended, but it was an offense, you know, she called Avram old, you know. But that already is a little bit, but you can't bring it right every time a person wants the law. You know, a guy says, my father's going to be upset at me if he knows that I, you know, a guy breaks something, then my father's going to be upset at me. If I admit that I broke it. Shalom Bayis, I don't want to aggravate my father. Shalom Bayis, kibud av v'aim, I don't want to aggravate my father. It's a very dangerous thing when you start doing that. Like what? I don't know if you're allowed to laugh. Yeah, so there are times you're allowed to lie. But the, you know, it's not very simple. It's not very simple. Bachar asked me, he said that he wants to go to LA for a Vart, and his father really will let him go, but his father won't be happy about it. His father doesn't really want to spend the money. So he wants to know if he's allowed to say, that his friend who is going for the friend's Vart, is he allowed to say that his friend is paying for it? To make his father feel better, that his friend wants to come so badly that his friend's paying for it. Meanwhile, he'll pay for it from his own money. I mean, if he's going to end up using his father's money, then it's a mamash shal of geneva. My friend's paying for it. He'll use his, you know, then I'll give up all his money. Then I'll need more money from his father. You know, it's a different child. So he wants to say that he'll say his own money. But his father doesn't want to use his own money, so he'll lie and he'll say that his friend's paying for it. I told him, I said, I don't usually like answering questions because I don't know 100%. I said, I would think it's better not to lie. I said, go ask my Kalish, his Rebbe. I don't like to, you know, get a second opinion. But why? Why did I say that? Because it's not an excuse to lie. Just because you want to, you know, you don't want to aggravate your. It's nice. The person meant well. But it's a very bad habit when a person just starts lying. And by the way, if a husband lies to his wife about breaking the dish, and his wife catches him one time, you have lost your wife's trust. Your wife will be suspicious of you for then on, for many years to come, anytime you say anything, because she'll be suspicious. How do I ever know? Honesty is very important in marriage, especially, I think that's the nature of ladies, but probably anyone. If you tell them, if you one time will lie, you know, one time you'll lie, and they'll catch you, and you're caught, then they will never trust you. Because how do they ever know you're telling the truth? You lied once, you can lie again, that's all. It's better to, most of the time, if you're not sure, ask a shiloh. If you don't have time, ask a shiloh. It's really better to be honest. Unless there's obviously going to be a dangerous, it might make a terrible machlokes in the family. If it's dangerous, then lie and ask. But if it's not dangerous, and it just, you know, you want to make it a little easier for yourself, you don't want to get in, you don't want to be in a little hot water, you know, it's very convenient. There are many kids that have habits of lying to their parents, you know, anytime they want to get out of something, they lie. It's terrible. That's why this blocker is able to tell. Why is the blocker able to tell the guy at the fitness store that he's 18 I believe that means that he's lied 100 times before. Because, a little lies. Because how could a person get out? How could even, like, if someone asked me my age, I'm like, I was going to lie. I would at least, like, stutter a little bit, stumble. It should be uncomfortable. Lying should be uncomfortable for a person. We don't lie. Anyways, so how do we get to lying? So we were discussing the guy that's looking for shidduch for his daughter. So since she's 14, 15, he's already slipping in things about her. And then when she gets attention, when she's almost ready back from seminary, he calls all his friends. He says, you know, I want for my daughter. And he calls every rav he knows. Do you know anyone for my daughter? You know, and he's on the phone, and he's worried. So there's something you'll say, is that right or not? It depends. If you're really worried, and you have no, and you don't have bitachon on Hashem, then you should not be lazy. You should call all the people you know, call the firemen, call the police, call as many people as you know, and make sure your daughter gets married. But there's another option which is more effective and much less stressful. Have a little bitachon on Hashem, which means that you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that it only takes one boy to marry my daughter. I know that you're in charge of Shidduchim. You know, I could do some Mishtalis. I don't know if you're on the Madriga, not to make any phone calls. I'll do a little Mishtalis. If you don't want to do any Mishtalis, you're on the Madriga, fine, isn't it? Do a little Mishtalis. But I'm not pressured. I have to talk and I call Shparach, Hashem will take care of it. Do you know how many people, you know, it only takes, it's a good thing to remember. It only takes one girl, or one boy, to get married. That's it. Only one. People are worried about having big lists, you know, Shidduchim. I don't care how big your list is. You're only going to get one. Only marrying one. Now, if we had polygamy, that'd be a different story. You're only getting one. So, getting one girl, you're marrying one girl. With Hashem, many times people make hundreds of phone calls and to find a shidduch and this. And what happens? Their third cousin from Alaska calls up and says, oh, I have a nice boy for your daughter. You know, my daughter, no, but I think it's really good. You know, and they go out and they get married. How many shidduchim came about through a person's direct influence? That one person that you ended up marrying came through your phone calls, through your effort. How many times? So a person has to betachem Hashem. A person has to betachem. You don't have to tell anyone if you have betachem, but if you try to work like this. If you have full betachem, you know, we've said already, you were here for that betachem. If you have full betachem, you could sit back and you don't have to make a single phone call. But I'm not talking right now in the highest madrig of betachem. A person that, let's say, will say like Chaim, no one knows my daughter, and it's so then a person has to work. Bitachon goes according to a person's own feelings and own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. This is the way it is. If a person feels, you know, a person trusts Hashem, says, I believe in Hashem, but he still feels the need to make a little bit of the shtar, a few phone calls, and then that's what, then is it lacking? He's not on the highest madriga, but he's still pretty impressive, he's still good. So he makes a few phone calls, and I trust Hashem, I'll do a little of the shtar, it's fine. Bitachon goes according to what you think. If a guy says, I'm not making any phone calls, but he's wary and he can't sleep at night because he's so nervous and he doesn't really trust Hashem. So you have to work with your Ishtalos goes according to Bitachon. If you have no Bitachon, then you do so much Ishtalos. You mean, you know, guys looking for, same thing, guys looking for a job, guys looking for a house, whatever a person needs in life. If you have no Bitachon, then everything's in your thing. You have to make 100 phone calls, you have to this. And if you want to find a house, you knock down everyone's door. And if you want a job, you call up this person, every friend, and you get a good, you have a good report, and this guy should give you a good thing, and this guy should give you a good name, and this guy should give you a name, and you'll do, you know, there's no end to how much ishtalos you have to do if you think you're in charge. The more a person realizes that Kosh Baruch is in charge, so then he's like, so let's say on a person who's a normal person, he's not Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he's not the Rabbi Zundel. So he applies to a few jobs, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in a good word, but I'm not going to make myself crazy. If Hashem wants me to get the job, I'll get the job. Hashem wants me to find a house, I'll find a house. Hashem, when the shidduch is right, Hashem will send the shidduch. It takes practice. It takes growth. The person has to hold himself back. You know, the person has to hold himself back, not to believe. If a person throws in all the shtadlis and he's always wary, he's making phone calls, he's showing that he doesn't trust Hashem, and he's showing that's not really Hashem. It's me. I'm getting myself a job, so therefore I gotta call every single person possible. I'm finding my shidduch. I'm finding. You're not trusting Hashem. And by the way, I always feel this way. You know, it's true. It's my own personal feeling. But I always rather hold back my shtadlus a little bit, because then I know that what's happening is basharis. I know that if I didn't put in a shtadlus and Hashem sent me something, I know this is right. But when you push something and you force something, the guy doesn't want to give you the job. You force, call this person, try to pressure, force. You strip yourself into getting the job. You strip yourself into getting the house. You strip yourself into a situation that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching and he says, Johnny, you want to decide your own fate? Go ahead. Take the job. I had a much better job waiting for you. Shaita, I had a better job waiting for you. The next offer you were going to get was double the pay. But Shaita, this is the job you want. I'm not going to fight you. Take it. I'm not going to fight you. A person has to believe, a person has to watch and believe that everything's about Kodesh Baruch. I was thinking today before Davi, I know what hit me. We say, there's a famous thing, we say, Gamzu L'tayva. Gamzu L'tayva. This is also for the good. What do we say? What's Gamzu? Also this. Zu L'tayva, this is for good. What's Gamzu L'tayva? This is also for the good. So I was thinking that what it means, maybe Pshat is, that a person should look at his life and see something happen in his life. He ended up in one yeshiva, he ended up in, he got one job, and it wasn't the way he really wanted to work out. And he realized afterwards, many people have such experiences, he realized afterwards that really it was for his benefit. Really it worked out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up exactly for what was best for him. And then he says the next time when something happens, he can't understand it. He says, Gamzu, also this is L'tayva. Just like that thing I didn't understand, and then afterwards I realized. So Gamzu, my whole life, everything, I don't have to see. I don't have to know why it's good. I know from experience, I know from my trust, that Gamzu, this is also for my benefit. Just because, you know, just because it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out, doesn't mean it's not for your benefit. You know how many times, hundreds and thousands of times, you know, things are going bad for you, and they're really for your own benefit, you know? So many things. Shidduchim. You know, everything. Everything Hashem knows what's best for you. You know? I always say with shidduchim, I've said this a lot of times before, shidduchim. The guy thinks he's going to pick. The guy says, whatever, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I want. First, let's remember when the shidduch, also, it's not like buying cars. You know, I'll buy this car, it's like picture the best looking car, the fastest driving car, and the coolest car. So I wanna that's picking a shidduch. You think you're picking a car? Do you know how complicated it is? Do you know Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Do you know when you put two people together, Mirat Hashem, the genetic systems, you know, and having your children, a person can marry a girl. This is a girl he has to marry. This is a girl he has to marry. This the shidduch didn't work out. Nebuch, this girl never had children. Never has children. You know, not wishing curses. In other words, how do you know what's best for you? What's best for you is not necessarily what you think is best for you. Is not necessarily best. You know, who's going to make them? Who's going to be the best parents together? Who's going to create? Who's going to have the best genetic systems together? Sometimes you have two smart, talented people that never have children that are not as talented as them. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's Teva. Who knows? It's very complicated. There are many people that who knows nature. Who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans? And sometimes. What's best is what Hashem wants. Is you don't know. It's so complicated. So a person has to always remember everything, not just shidduchim. I mean, shidduchim is like it's obvious. You know, obvious shidduchim is obvious. You know, a guy thinks he's picking his. You know, does it trust Hashem? Hashem will. Guy also. Bacher's worried. You know. Is he's not getting. Whatever it is, he needs more PR maybe to get more dates, or people don't know him, they're writing him dates. Also, we could say, Hashem's in charge. Hashem, if I trust Hashem, Hashem will send me, they don't know me, Hashem will send me the girl. Hashem will send me the girl that's right for me, not because I'm a shachan knew that this is a perfect shidduch. Most shidduchim come from shachans that, as Heshi would call a boy-girl shidduch. He wears pants, she wears a skirt, good shidduch. I mean, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem makes the shidduch. Sometimes you have inside jobs. The cousins, a friend. Most of the shidduchim are like from left. They don't know each other. It's Hashem. It's Hashem making a shidduch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in life we have to remember. Everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to trust Hashem. Person has to, you know, person has to relax. Person has to relax. Has to relax himself. If a person, the more a person feels that's him, the more pressure he has. The person's worried about parnasa, how he's going to make money. So Bacher told me, I don't know if he's right, because I never heard of this. He told me that he feels that many Bacher have problems with learning. It's because they're already worried at a young age about how they're gonna support a family. I didn't think Bacher, even I, who naturally more of a worrier than a chilled out person, never thought about this at such a young age. But a person's worried about parnasa and this and parnasa that. If I don't start college now, then it's gonna be too old. And that year between when I'm married and between marriage and law school and between marriage and medical school and this school, I won't be able to support my family then because I'll be married. So I better score now. I better not take off a year. How do you know? What do you know? Because Baruch is in charge of money. How do you know so well? What? If you do what's right, they're Bachram here. They're Bachram here that are. I'll do with hinting, but it's obvious. The two Bachram here that are doing schooling for medical school in a very unconventional way, especially for two Bachram that are very bright, very smart Bachram, and doing trying to get into medical school in an unconventional way. You know, these guys can go to the college, they can go to make a guarantee, they'll go to this college, they'll get into the medical school, they'll get into that medical school. No, they go unconventionally into medical school because they want to stay in yeshiva. That requires an amount of betachon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if I says, I have to go to this school, because if I don't go to this school, I won't get into this medical school. If I don't get into this medical school, I won't get a good better job, I won't get paid as much money. Person has to say, I will do what's right. I will stay in yeshiva. If I stay in yeshiva, I might not be able to go to a better college. If I go into this if I'm doing charol, kefesmas, I'm doing a cheaper, worse college, I might not be able to get into medical school. That person has to say, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me, will take care of me. Hashem will take care of me, that I won't, Hashem will take care of me, that I'll work out for me, and I'll get into medical school either way. A guy stays in yeshiva, he says, if I stay in yeshiva, I won't get into such a good medical school. He says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of money. Do you know how many rich doctors went to lousy medical schools? I know how many, there are plenty of, not necessarily dependent if you went on the numbers, the school number, 75th in the country or 25th in the country, not necessarily no guarantee of how much money you're making or how successful you are. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who makes you successful. It's Hashem who makes you successful. So a person should realize to himself, look, I'm so lucky. What guarantees success? Does guarantee success going to the better medical school, better law school guarantee success? Or does staying in yeshiva guarantee more success? Well, if you stay in yeshiva, then you basically have it in with Hashem, so to say. I believe this. It sounds a little bit kaivadik, but you have it in with Hashem, so to say. You can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, I did it the Torah way, I did it a way that was better for my ruchnius, because this way I feel, Hashem, now I need your help. So you have it in with the boss. You have it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of all trades, the owner of all money, Hashem. Or you could say, well, I'm nervous because I'm not going to get as much money if I do this, and I'm nervous, so I have to go to school here, even though it's not good for my learning, because this way, and then what are you doing? You're leaving it in Johnny Joe's hands. Now you're taking a big chance. Now you're taking a real risk. Now you're taking a big risk. I don't care if you're going to Yale, you're taking a big risk. You're leaving it, you're taking it out of Hashem's hands, it's riskier. A person should always remember that any decision in life, a person has to fight his parents on something, any decision in life a person has, he has to trust Hashem, that Hashem will make it good for him. His parents won't disown him, his parents will. A person has to trust Hashem. If you don't trust Hashem, if you just worry, you'll never get through life. You're always worried, this is going to be a person's going to be upset, this is that. You should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you. Hashem will make it work. Alright, let's stop. Yeah.